Our daily discussions of the great questions of life and death have brought us to a point where we're posing the most essential of all questions. What is the gospel according to Jesus? What was the message which Jesus delivered to the people as vital information about the meaning of life and our destiny as human beings? The answer is provided at the very beginning of the accounts of Jesus' ministry. What Jesus came preaching was what he called the gospel about the kingdom of God. Here is Mark's summary statement of how Jesus inaugurated his preaching mission. Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's message and saying, "The kingdom of God is approaching. Repent and believe the good news." Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. From this foundational statement, it's quite clear that the Christian gospel has a name. It's called the gospel about the kingdom of God. It has, in other words, a very specific content: the kingdom of God. Our task, if we're to respond to Jesus and believe his good news about the kingdom, is to grasp what he meant by that famous phrase, kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was Jesus' watchword. The kingdom of God was the phrase always on his lips. And the kingdom of God was the name he gave to his gospel. What then did Jesus mean by the kingdom of God? What does he expect us to believe when he says, "Repent and believe the gospel about the kingdom"? This gives us an excellent opportunity to follow a sound method of Bible interpretation. What we want to know is, what does the phrase kingdom of God mean in the Bible? Now, the wrong way of discovering the meaning of the kingdom of God is to quote one or two verses only from the New Testament. No, we must always go back into the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, to see what Jesus would have meant by his famous phrase, kingdom of God. You see, Jesus believed in the Old Testament scriptures as a wonderful revelation from God his Father. When Jesus began to preach, he used language familiar to his audience. It would have been nonsensical to come into Galilee announcing the kingdom of God if his audience had no concept of what that kingdom was. So what is the kingdom of God? Now, that exact phrase does not occur often, in fact very seldom, in the Old Testament. But the idea of the kingdom of God is found all over the Hebrew scriptures. Every Jew knew what it meant. All the prophets of Israel had talked about the kingdom. It was a wonderful time coming when the world would be rescued from its present turmoil and trouble. The kingdom of God was to a Jew what the Statue of Liberty is to an American. It was built into the deepest hopes and aspirations of the nation. It was something to be longed for and prayed for. You can imagine then the excitement generated by Jesus when he opened his public ministry by announcing the near approach of the kingdom of God. Let me point you to several occurrences of the term kingdom of the Lord or kingdom of God in the Bible, which will get us off on the right start. If you have a Bible handy, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and beginning at the first verse of that chapter, you will find a message delivered by King David of Israel near the end of his life. David rose to his feet, it says in verse 2, of 1 Chronicles 28, and addressed his fellow Israelites. He reminded his people that God had promised to make him king over Israel forever. Verse 4. He then referred to his son Solomon and said this about Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 5. God has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. We have here a most important key to what is meant by the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the Lord. It's clearly a real kingdom over which a king presides as king. It was a kingdom with a throne located in Jerusalem, and it was a kingdom ruled over by the duly appointed successors to David. The kingdom of God, in other words, is the territory ruled by an Israelite monarchy. Its capital was a real geographical place, Jerusalem. It was located on this earth, and its kings were descendants of David. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 5, we have one of many confirmations of this definition of the important phrase kingdom of God or kingdom of the Lord. In that verse we learn that the Lord God gave the rule over Israel to David forever and his sons by a covenant of salt. Now, what rule and kingdom in the hands of the family of David is called the kingdom of God? You will see this in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 13. In that verse, a later king of Judah, Abijah, challenges some opposing politicians by telling them that they were resisting the kingdom of the Lord in the hands of the descendants of David. So here again we find out what the kingdom of God is. It's the monarchy of the house of David, appointed by God to rule the territory granted to it by a covenant from God. As we study the teaching of Jesus' gospel of the kingdom, it's important always to bear in mind these biblical definitions of the kingdom of God. The kingdom has a throne in Jerusalem, and it's the subject of a covenant between God and its rulers. And the kingdom is a kingdom in the hands of a descendant of David, and whoever he would choose to share his rule with. What we need to understand is that the term kingdom of God is a political term, in the sense that it really means a kingdom. A kingdom is, of course, a territory ruled by a king. Now, the Bible does not use the word kingdom to confuse us. We're expected to know what a kingdom is, and even more important, we're to take as our starting point God's own definition of the kingdom of God as a real kingdom located in Israel and administered by the house of David. Now, where else does the phrase kingdom of God appear in the Old Testament scriptures? As we search out clues as to what Jesus meant when he came announcing the near approach of the kingdom of God in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. I would like you to hear another description of the kingdom of God as it would have been understood by Jesus' first century audience. In the little book of the prophet Obadiah, we read this: "The community of Jacob will regain territory from those who took it from them. They will recover the Negev from Mount Esau and the Shephelah from the Philistines. The exiles of the people of Israel will annex Canaanite territory as far as Zarephath. The governors will go up to Jerusalem to govern Mount Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's." That was an excerpt from the Old Testament prophet Obadiah, from verse 17 to 21 of his single chapter. Well, there it is again. The kingdom of God is a condition on earth when Israelite kings will be ruling over their former enemies. The kingdom of God is clearly centered in Palestine, with its capital in Jerusalem. Let me give you some more kingdom material from the Bible, which Jesus recognized as the inspired word of God, the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 16, verse 5, the great prophet Isaiah had a vision of the future. This is what he saw. I quote, "One of David's descendants will be king, and he will rule the people with faithfulness and love. He'll be quick to do what is right, and he will see that justice is done." Now, what all these prophets saw was a vision of utopian conditions on earth, after the conquest of hostile forces by God acting through his chosen agent, the Messiah. The word Messiah, I'm sure you know, simply means King of Israel, the one appointed by God to rule the world. So here's more kingdom information. In Isaiah 24, verse 23, we read that the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And the prophet Zechariah foresees a time when, and I quote, "The Messiah will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river Euphrates to the end of the earth." We find that in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. May I add yet another passage to these key verses describing what the Bible means by the kingdom of God? The prophet Jeremiah announced a time coming in the future when, and I quote, "God will bring on the scene for David a righteous branch or descendant, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in security." We find that in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. I think that you'll catch the flavor of what the Bible means by its key term, kingdom of God. It means a real kingdom. Why should the Bible use the term kingdom if it did not mean a real kingdom? It means a kingdom which is going to be on the earth, and it's going to have power to rule the world from Jerusalem, its capital. The king will be a descendant of the royal house of David, and all this is promised by a solemn covenant entered into by God himself. The important thing to notice is that the kingdom of God does not mean an abstract reign or rule. Whatever the kingdom of God may mean to you, it's not restricted to God's rule in your heart. This is not to say that God is not to rule in your heart. Of course he must. But when Jesus announced the kingdom of God as on the horizon, at hand, about to arrive, he was using the term kingdom in the sense in which the Bible had used it. This was the only sense in which Jesus' audience would have understood it. And the kingdom was the great national hope of the people of Israel. The kingdom was what they prayed for when they asked God to intervene in the world's affairs to put things right. It is that same kingdom that Christians are instructed to pray for as a first priority. We are to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." So the kingdom of God is a state of affairs on this earth when the will of God is being done. That is certainly not now. That is why Jesus said that we're to pray for the arrival of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God was the subject of all of Jesus' preaching. And as we shall show in a later broadcast, the gospel of the kingdom was the main agenda of all that Paul preached also. Without a clear understanding of the kingdom, we cannot possibly grasp what Jesus meant when he gave his first commandment, and that is the one recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "The kingdom of God is coming," he said. "Repent and believe the good news of the kingdom." That's where Christianity, as Jesus taught it, begins, and that's where evangelism should begin. We invite you to reflect on how much you have heard preached about the gospel of the kingdom. There's no doubt that when early Christians preached, they always preached the gospel about the kingdom. Have you been hearing about the kingdom of God when you heard about the gospel? Is the phrase "gospel of the kingdom" the phrase you normally associate with the gospel? Jesus started his whole mission by issuing a command to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. We're in search of information about the gospel as it came from the lips of Jesus, and thus about the great questions of life and death. We leave you then to reflect on Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, as a key to the faith as Jesus understood it. At the foundation of all he taught was his announcement of the good news, or the gospel, about the kingdom of God. Jesus' gospel always had to do with the kingdom. Kingdom of God is virtually a synonym for the Christian religion, as Jesus taught it. To be a student of the kingdom is to be a true Christian disciple, for as John the Apostle said, "Those who abide in Christ's teaching have a relationship with God and his Son." 2 John, verse 9. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Contact us. We would like to send you some free literature for your own research and meditation. Meanwhile, may God bless you in your search for his truth.